Well, we have lost another Blackhawk favorite. Andrew Shaw will be playing for the Montreal Canadiens next season. This is after we have lost Teuvo Teravainen and also Brian Bickle. And Pitt Martin is no longer a Blackhawk. And Judd Sirott is here to explain why this could happen. Hello, Judd.
I won't delve into Pitt, but all right. The other stuff is all salary cap related. Hey, Bill and Wendy, how are you? You know, unfortunately, I think the Blackhawks tried to move heaven and earth and tried all sorts of different scenarios that they could keep a guy like Andrew Shaw, and that means being very flexible, at least on Andrew's part, as far as term, as far as a contract value, unable to do it because down the road, what you also have to think about is you have to sign Artemi Panarin after next season. You have to be able to find the money to do that. And even by clearing some of the money that they have here up into the draft, they only have $6 million free under the cap. They still have to sign a few guys to fill out their roster.
All right, but he wanted $4.5 million, and what did they come in at that they were able to give him, or was that not disclosed?
As far as the Blackhawks or the Montreal Canadiens?
The Blackhawks.
I have not heard an official figure from the Montreal Canadiens, but Wendy, you have to also understand that's not just a one-year deal. What are you going to pay him next year? And then next year, let's say he's on the books for $4.5 million. What are you going to do with Artemi Panarin?
No,
what
no, no.
What do you have to make?
Don't. I mean, I'm saying I...
Don't get Judd mad, Wendy.
I'm not trying to. Judd,
mad.
What I'm saying is I think...
Gosh darn it, Wendy.
All I know is what I read on Twitter and everywhere else on various publications.
Well,
that...
we don't know if that's accurate, though, Wendy. That's the only thing. Now, I have not heard an exact figure coming from the Blackhawks, but... leading up to the draft and before they had an official salary cap number, and again, the salary cap is only going up by, I think, $1.6 million, so it's essentially flat. And I think going forward, unless something dramatic happens in the world economy or certainly with the Canadian economy, I think you could probably see that that's going to be flat. But how are you going to be able to fit all of these guys in? What other hard choice would you have to make, not just this year, but next year or the year after?
I am siding with the Blackhawks on this. I am saying Schauzer wanted $4.5 million as reported. And
yeah, we don't know that, but okay.
Okay. But I'm just saying, you know, it breaks my heart for him to leave, but it's like he's still making decent money, and couldn't he decide to stay for less than that?
Well, that's certainly in his camp. You know, now you've got the other side of it. How long is the National Hockey League career? How often do you get an opportunity to sign a long-term deal? What sort of insurance do I have?
That's true.
Especially with the style that I play, that I could get a serious injury. I mean, all of a sudden, if he gets a concussion next year, what are you doing for the next 3 years? If I sign a one-year deal, I could be in a serious predicament. So you don't get that many opportunities to sign these deals. He has to do what's best for Andrew Shaw. The Blackhawks have to do what's best for the organization.
Judd, is this true or not true? I've heard this from a couple sources, but you tell me if this is real or not. People have said that because Artemi Panarin had such an amazing season, the way his contract was structured was he got bonuses if he scored X amount of goals. He got a bonus for being the rookie of the year, and that money ate into the salary cap money for the Hawks. Is that true?
Oh, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. And you have to also go back. The Blackhawks had to shed Rob Scuderi's contract off of their roster. They were still retaining a little over $1 million from that contract. So Panarin having the huge season that he had and getting rid of Scuderi, those numbers added up for the Blackhawks. But I think if you're on the Blackhawks, listen, you put those out as incentives. You were hoping that he could hit those numbers. Listen, he had a monster season.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the way that the playoffs were structured in the Western Conference, and specifically the Central Division, you could not have had a tougher draw in the first round probably than the St. Louis Blues. You got it. You took them to seven games. If you don't hit two posts from Brent Seabrook in game seven, maybe we're not talking about this. So I think he achieved the goals that they were hoping, and they had a monster season as a result.
What other sports have these salary caps? Is it with all sports?
No. Baseball does not have a salary cap. The NFL has a hard cap. It's structured a little bit differently than the Blackhawks because they don't have guaranteed contracts. The NBA has something called a soft cap, so you can exceed the cap if you want to retain some of your own players. You know, and I think that's the most difficult thing is the system, the way it is now, Wendy and Bill, is the commissioner and the league, they want you to draft and develop your own talent, but the way they've set it up, there's no mechanism to reward you for doing that. see a guy like Brandon Saad, see a guy like Andrew Shaw. And that's sort of a flaw in the system. And if you ask people, well, would Gary Bettman be willing to change that? And they say, oh, no, no, no. He really likes this turnover. He likes the fact that it creates this level of parity, but it creates horror, you know, terror and torment for all sorts of teams. Remember, if you look at the LA Kings, there aren't that many teams that are in the Blackhawks boat that have won this many cups, that have high, top-notch talent, big-name free agents. But if you look at the LA Kings, they're in the same spot here. They're losing a guy in Milan Lucic who's in his prime, who's a terrific power forward, a terror to deal with on the ice, a great character player. They're going to lose him. In fact, they lost him. He'll go on the market.
It just doesn't seem right. It really doesn't. You know,
it's like you're punished for being good.
I totally agree. You know, and the last time I had the commissioner on was in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2015, and I asked him, would you run it up the flagpole to be able to change the system that you can reward these teams for drafting and developing? Oh, no, 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 I like it. I like the way the system the way it is. And unfortunately, you're going to have to go through this. So, you know, Mike Babcock used to say, listen, you get good, you win championships, you get paid, and then you get paid, and then you start losing players. That's what happens.
Wasn't there a good goalie on somebody's team who was taken off a team? I can't remember who it was. I can't for the life of me remember.
This last season?
Just these trades going on right now. Elliott.
Brian Elliott?
Yes.
Well, St. Louis had to certainly make a choice, and they're in a little bit of a different situation because they're not necessarily a cap team, but they are a budget team, and their captain, David Backes, is up for contract. What are you going to sign him to? How much are you going to sign him for? You also have to take into account his age, and he's a little bit older than a guy like Andrew Shaw. He's in his early to mid-30s. What do you do there? They had to get rid of one goalie to create some space, but they still have to sign Backes.
I'd like to slap Backes.
Oh, come on.
In the Backes.
Come on.
I really would. He bugs me.
You've got some other choices. There's a kid named Kevin Shattenkirk on the back end.
I don't like him either.
Well, what are they going to do with him? I don't think they can afford him, and a lot of people feel like he's going to be traded before the season starts this upcoming year because they can't necessarily afford him. I don't think he wants to be there. They're another team that has to make some of these hard decisions. But you constantly have to find young, developable, young talent that you can develop. If you look at the Blackhawks, part of the reason that they gave up Teuvo Teravainen, and they didn't want to do that, is that they have some kids coming through their system. Nick Schmaltz was a guy I talked to with Rowan Anna the last time I was on. He's the next guy that projects as an impact player in the Blackhawks system and a guy who in many ways has Teuvo Teravainen-like skills.
All right, stick around. More with Judd Surratt as we go over what the Blackhawks season will look like next year and beyond. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Judd Surratt is here. He's our friend. Judge Surratt is our friend, Wendy.
Although he's getting a little Hochberg on us.
Well, it's
Hochberg on you?
It's very emotional.
Yeah, it is emotional.
It is.
And again, I'd like to pitch the Blackhawks store. We just bought a Shaw jersey for my son Dylan. I think for $50, they should swap out the name and number for you.
That seems doable. It's not a lot to ask.
I'll see what they say when I go ask them to do it.
Yeah, see what they say. Hey, Judd, what about this? What about Andrew Ladd? Now that they've freed up some money with Andrew Shaw, is that a good harbinger of what's to come for Andrew Ladd or not?
Good question. Again, with a guy like Andrew Ladd, I don't know how many more contracts he's going to sign. So if he's going to come here, and in talking to Andrew in the past, he's at a point where he can sort of pick and choose where he wants to go. If he's willing to take something that is short on term and light on dollars that's team-friendly for the Blackhawks, maybe there's a chance to pull something off. I know Brian Campbell's name has been circulated quite a bit, and certainly a chance that could happen. For Brian, he's just coming off that monster deal that the Blackhawks originally signed him to as a free agent, just finished up with Florida, had a terrific season there. He has his roots here in Chicago now, not only having played for the team, but married a girl was from here, and he makes his offseason home here. Certainly there's a chance that he could take a short-term deal, light on the dollars, a lot like Brad Richards did back in 2015, and that would be enormous to bring that guy a puck mover like that back on the blue line. He doesn't have to carry the mail. He can come in and be the number four defenseman on the team, a guy who understands the system and understands what it's like to win championships. It would be terrific if Stan Bowman and the organization were able to pull that off.
All right, with the with our loss of Andrew Shaw, who are the youngins that are joining the team? What do we know about them?
I think you've got a few. I think one of the guys that immediately will get a lot of attention because he plays a similar style to Shaw is a guy like Ryan Hartman. Now, Ryan has to do a couple of things in order to be more successful at the NHL level. He has to commit himself during the offseason to be in much better condition. He has to be disciplined on the ice because even if it's Andrew Shaw or anybody else on the team, if you're taking a lot of dumb penalties and Ryan Hartman's a guy who can rack them up, he is so difficult to play against. I've talked with opponents about this, guys in the minors about this. If he can play smart, control his discipline, get a little bit faster on the ice as well, he can do a lot of those same things. He is good with the puck, and he is smart. Then some other guys, we're going to see what they're like when they come to camp. We'll see. I don't expect Nick Schmaltz to start at the NHL level, but if he does well at the American Hockey League level, or if he's a surprise out of camp, it would not be beyond the realm of imagination that the Blackhawks start him with the team on October 12th for opening night. Tyler Mott is another guy that got a taste of the American Hockey League out of the University of Michigan last year that did very well there. He could come up and make an impression. Tanner Carroll. So there are a lot of youngsters. There's a lot of opportunities for guys, maybe more so than ever, on those bottom two lines to make an impact and carve out a niche for yourself.
What's the number one thing, Judd, that the Blackhawks have to improve on from last year?
Ooh, that is a good question. Not an easy question. I think that there needs, you know, there are a couple of things, but I think that you need more coherent depth up front. I think a lot of the time last year, Bill and Wendy, if you look at what they did for the bulk of the season, they were a one-line team. It was Kane, Anisimov, and Panarin.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Toews was never really able to settle in with Marian Hossa, and you can name the winger. It was the guy who was supposedly in the lottery spot for Joel Quenneville. And then those bottom two lines, because there was so much chaos maybe on the top line, they couldn't seem to find that fit. So if they're able to find some coherent depth on those first four lines, I think that'll be good for the team. I think that'll be the best for the team. If you look at the team that won the Stanley Cup this year, Bill and Wendy, that blue line does not blow your doors off. In fact, if you put those guys head-to-head with the Blackhawks,
yeah,
you'd say to yourselves, oh, the Blackhawks are much better.
Yeah.
But what you saw from the Pittsburgh Penguins was a terrific four-line rotation. And how often do we hear Joel Quenneville spout about that? That's what the team needs more of, and they need a lot of those young guys or lesser established players to be able to come up and play meaningful roles. But that said, the core players also have to be more consistent.
We're going to miss Andrew Shaw, but who knows what the new recruits might bring, because remember, Teuvo Teravainen was the talk of the town, and then all of a sudden we got Artemi Panarin and Artem Anisimov, and then Teuvo was like, Teuvo who? You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, and let's see if Nick Schmaltz is able to make the impact that I think the brass is hoping. He's a guy that I think you could fall in love with. He's a high-skill, high-risk player at this point. I'm sure he'll do a lot of learning under Joel Quenneville. And if Ryan Hartman can be the guy that the organization hopes, he was a low first-round pick for the Blackhawks a few seasons ago, a local product who hails from Bartlett. He plays the style very similar to Andrew Shaw, but he's got to make a better commitment, and he has to be more disciplined on the ice. But I think he's a guy that you guys will fall in love with. All of the fans will if he's up to stay here consistently. If you remember when he debuted, he played his first game, his first shift right in. He skated in and popped the helmet literally off of a guy named Dinas Zubras, who he was giving up a few inches and about 20 pounds to. He drilled him against the New Jersey Devils. And everybody remembers that impression. He just has to harness that ability on a night-in, night-out, shift-in, shift-out base.
Well, he better because he's on the Blackhawks now.
And we like to win. We kind of like to win. Do you think Tommy Hawk will be with the team next year, or are they going to trade him?
You know what? I don't know. You know, he's been talking about term and money at this point, and the mascot salary cap has not moved as much.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of free agent probabilities for him. You know, I also understand he had some bonus money that went into a new fan van for Tommy Hawk. You have to be able to account for that.
Judd, thank you. We miss you. It's good to talk to you.
Great talking to you guys. Anytime.
October 12th. Can't wait.
See ya.
Thanks, Judd. It's Judd Surratt. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Ro and Anna have. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.